Brought to you by Bose, presenting their most advanced pilot headset ever, the Bose A20 Aviation Headset. It provides acclaimed noise reduction, along with a comfortable fit, clear audio, and Bluetooth connectivity.
Hi, this is Jeff Van West reporting for RavWeb. This week, the Redbird Skyport opens in San Marcos, Texas. This flight school and aviation laboratory is the collaborative effort of Redbird Flight Simulations and King Schools, among others. When the program was announced last summer at Oshkosh AirVenture, I sat down with company president Jerry Gregoire and John and Martha King to find out more.
I'm going to start with you, Jerry. Jerry, you call it an aviation laboratory, you call it a flight school. What is this really and what are its goals?
Well, it's at its heart, it's a laboratory because we find that we develop new systems, new curriculums, and new hardware, flight simulation hardware, almost in a vacuum. You build it, and then you figure out whether it's going to sell. Actually, you know, we make claims about its value in flight training, but we can't quantify it. So, at the heart of this project is a laboratory with a Part 141 flight school and a flight experience center attached to it, which allows us to take the curriculums and the training expertise of the King Schools and our expertise in building flight training devices and machinery and put them in a laboratory environment with a high volume of students coming through and be able to, in order to objectively measure the impact of these tools and correct and refine as we go so that we can go to the flight training industry and say, this is the impact on training time and proficiency that you get when you do these things with these machines and this curriculum.
Do you have any data so far as to how this has been affecting flight training in terms of accident rates, how quickly people are learning, cost of training, anything that's come up so far, or is this completely new?
Well, we think it's completely new. We have a mountain of anecdotal data that says motion in flight simulation is a terrific help in ab initio training, and being able to see out the side windows is a tremendous help in simulation and ab initio training. But we can't quantify it. We know that it works, but we don't know how well it works in a measurable way, and as such can't do a cost benefit analysis on that kind of information. So with that, we'll begin by understanding its value and then begin refining these systems, the curriculum, how the curriculum's delivered, how we build the machinery, what features the machinery has to have in order to make flight training work. Not just as trainers, but also as practice devices, where a student can, in a very non-judgmental environment, climb into one of these devices, practice, and get very objective scoring back from the machine on how they're doing, which we think is going to be the key to reducing training time and making the pilot, student pilot, more successful every time they get in the airplane. And that, in turn, becomes a big part of holding on to students. Student retention is much easier when the student's successful.
Let's talk a little bit about what the training program would be, and I'll address this over to the Kings. How does the training program for the Redbird Laboratory differ from the stuff that you've been doing, either for yourselves for King Schools or for Cessna? We'll ask John.
Well, Jeff, every now and then someone comes along and makes changes so radical that you're going to say before this happened and after this happened. Because now we can take this simulator technology and get people who can learn the skills in the simulator, and then they'll take those skills to the airplane and apply them in a scenario in which they're doing risk management. So what we're going to do is when people fly these procedures in the airplane, they've already learned them. They've already got it down because we now have simulators with adequate fidelity, sufficient fidelity, that you can get real value in VFR training right in the simulator.
Jeff, one of the things that we're doing especially for Redbird and is really going to get tested out in this laboratory in San Marcos is the program called GIFT, the Guided Independent Flight Training, where the customer, even the ab initio, the very beginning pilot, can go into the simulator and let's say that they need to work on steep turns. They're going to learn steep turns. in the simulator, they can watch a short video from John or I, depending on who does the segment, about doing a steep turn and how you do it well and so on. And then the simulator will put that customer in the same geographic location, at the same altitude, same airspeed, same heading, and now it's their turn to do that. And when they get done, they haven't just practiced. The simulator has graded them and then comes up and says how they're doing relative to the practical test standards. And then John or I will come back and say, if you're having trouble with maintaining altitude, here's a few tips that might help you, and now would you like to try it again?
Now, for the first time, when you schedule a lesson, every time something's going to happen. You'll either fly in the airplane, you'll have a simulator session, or you do guided independent flight training with the GIFT program. But the flight school will have a continuous source of revenue, and the student has a predictable rate of progress. So now we'll be able to tell a customer what their start date is, their end date is, and what it's going to cost with reliability, because we know that they're going to be current and have a predictable training schedule.
Let's talk a little bit about that schedule and the cost. Jerry, when we first talked about this school opening in San Marcos, it's going to open in November of this year, but the first class, you were saying, is coming through as of January. Do I have that right?
No, we actually have students scheduled as soon as we open. But they're like practice students, so we've got about... We're booked up through November, December, but we start to get high volumes of students through January. And for the laboratory, high volumes of students are important for us to get the kind of sampling that we need.
And when you say high volumes of students, how many students are we talking about, and what kind of training time and cost have they been told to expect?
We think that a fixed fee, fixed schedule training program is the first one we're going to want to test in the laboratory, because we think that our core constituency, the pilot with enough wherewithal to do pilot training, but a person so busy they need to know when they're going to be done, is going to be the kind of student that we're going to attract to a school like this. $9,500 in a three-week program to a pilot's license is going to be the program, and the same thing for instrument training and commercial training.
And how much of that is sim time, and how much is real airplane time? Because you also have G1000 172s that you're going to be flying there as well, right?
Right, and that's a good question, and that's among the things we're going to be testing with the simulators. You know, there's really two kinds of simulator time in this. In this environment, one is that simulator time that is managed with the instructor, and the kind of freeform simulator time that the students use to practice. It'll probably be about a 50-50 mix between instructor-based simulator time and airplane time, with additional time put in by the student in each one of the training devices.
You know, Jeff, one of the thoughts that people sometimes have when they think about the concept that Jerry's talking about in the laboratory with the 50-50 on the simulator and in the airplane, is they say, well, yeah, but the FAA won't accept all that simulator time. But the point is, that's irrelevant. Yes, the FAA for the private pilot only allows 2.5 hours of sim time, but very, very few students are going to be proficient enough to get their license, their private license, in the Part 141 school, minimum hours of 35 hours. So the point is not how much of this sim time can I log as far as my license is concerned. The point is how quickly can the simulator make me proficient and get me ready so that my actual time in the airplane may only be 40 hours. I'll have, you know, a lot of time in the simulator, some of which will not count in my total time for the FAA, but still, it is enormously increasing the customer's both proficiency and comfort level in the airplane.
And how soon do you think before you guys will see results on this?
Well, we think we're going to see some results right away, because we've got new equipment. We're retooling our existing equipment for self-study. So we've got some targets that we think we can meet in terms of training time and throughput on students. So I think we're going to get some feedback immediately. Even if our guess was wrong, we're going to get some information immediately. You know, this may sound a little counterintuitive about the way we've set this laboratory up, especially when it's being shepherded by a commercial company, but it is that there is a free flow of ideas coming in, and there's going to be a free flow of results and data coming out of this. And all of the information that we generate, all of the secrets that we learn, everything will be available to everybody in the industry. So we expect to be able to start telling people things fairly early on.
The experiment starts this week. We'll check back with Redbird in the months to come and see how things are going. This is Jeff Van West for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
Brought to you by Bose, presenting their most advanced pilot headset ever, the Bose A20 Aviation Headset. It provides acclaimed noise reduction along with a comfortable fit, clear audio, and Bluetooth connectivity.